Philip Sillier is from Haasbroek and Bizarre Attorneys, which is the reason why he's going to be the one to tell us everything we need to know about drafting a will. So, Philip, hello. How are you doing?
I'm very well, and you?
I'm doing fine and fabulous. Thank you very much. And you see, I need to know, because this is Wills Week. It's all about how to do this, what's important, and we've got quite a few of the other interviews that gives us other information around Wills Week. So I've got a very specific thing that we're focusing on today, which is, so what if I'm not rich and I don't have heaps of houses to give to someone? If I only have a few assets, do I still need a will?
Absolutely. Even if you do not have a lot of assets, I consider it quite imperative to still have a will. In your will, you can regulate so much more than just necessarily the distribution of your assets. You can ensure that your assets, upon distribution, do not fall into the wrong hands. You can nominate the person you wish to appoint as the executor of your estate, and you can determine who should be appointed as the guardian of your minor children upon your death. So there's so much more going on in the will than just the distribution of your assets, however few assets you may have. Over and above this, in terms of Section 18(3) of the Administration of Estates Act, the Master of the High Court can issue a letter of authority upon your death. This is in the instances where your estate is worth less than 250,000 rand. The master then appoints an authorized person, not necessarily an executor, to distribute your estate under Section 18(3), which caters then for a much more simplified distribution process, where you don't necessarily need to appoint a professional person to assist you with the administration of the estate. However, the distribution and all other aspects thereof are still regulated in terms of your will.
Do I understand it correctly that if you do not have a will, it takes much longer for all of this stuff to be sorted out if they have to now allocate someone and all of that? So people will literally get nothing for a longer time if you don't have a will.
Possibly. So in terms of a will, you can appoint an executor who you wish to have appointed to distribute your estate. If you pass away without a will, you do not have that opportunity to appoint the executor. Then you have to fall back, or the master have to fall back upon the process provided for in the Administration of Estates Act. This is where they then appoint the executor, but we have a nomination procedure as written into the Administration of Estates Act. And this can be one of two things. Either there can be a dispute amongst the heirs as to who should be appointed as the executor, which can prolong the process much longer, or just the filling out of the forms is a much different procedure when you have to, what we call the executor dative, is such a nominated executor. It's a longer procedure, ultimately.
Okay, so what if the people that I want to receive something would be minors? If they are too young, you know, they can't do anything with it yet, can I bequeath even to minors?
Absolutely. You can bequeath to any person that you want. In fact, it's quite common that people would say that they bequeath their assets to the surviving spouse. However, should the surviving spouse pass away simultaneously with them or before them, then they would bequeath their assets to their children. And it often happens that such children are then minors. So in terms of our law, however, a minor child cannot necessarily receive a cash inheritance in his hands. It can also not be paid into the hands of the parent of such minor child. The idea behind this is to overcome fraud or instances where the parent might use the child's money for their own gain. So the automatic position in our law is that any cash legacy or cash inheritance, which is to be distributed to a minor, will automatically be paid into the guardian's fund. Now, the guardian's fund is a fund which is administered by the Master of the High Court. The parent or the guardian, on behalf of that minor child, can then go and apply to the Master of the High Court for a small sum of for access to that money to assist with the maintenance of the child. However, it is a tedious process. We have to usually stand in long queues, and it's a very slow process as well. Over and above this, then, on the 18th birthday of such a child, he will then receive all the funds. So if you were a millionaire who left all of your cash to your minor child, it will be paid into the guardian's fund, and on their 18th birthday, they would get their millions. We usually deal with this, if you have a will, we usually deal with this in the will by way of a trust. So you will set up a trust into your will. It's called a testamentary trust or mortis causa trust. In this trust, you can then appoint people the trustees to administer the money on behalf of the child. So it doesn't need to be paid into the guardian's fund. You can determine the conditions under which the minor child might have access to the funds. For example, you can determine that it must be used to pay his school fees or to pay his university fees or anything like that. And you can determine at which age the child should get access to the funds. So for example, you can determine that only on his 25th birthday, you should get his millions, proverbial millions, we could call it that. Whereas most people consider the 18th birthday still a very, very young age to have access to your own funds.
But until that money comes in other words, they are still vulnerable. So what actually happens to my minor child until that time?
Okay, so the issues should be separated. On the one hand, you have the patrimonial, the money consequences, and that is as per the previous question I answered. However, the children themselves, in your will, you can determine what should happen to your children. In terms of Section 27 of the Children's Act, you can appoint a fit and proper person to be appointed as the guardian of your child should both parents pass away or have passed away by the point of your death. So should you be a single parent or should both parents pass away simultaneously, you can determine that the parent should go or the children should go to the grandparents or any other person who is a fit and proper person who you trust.
Okay, but then the other issue is, what if my child, like 18, as you were saying earlier, it's quite a young age, and what if at 18 my child is now a drug addict or a spendthrift and the money's just going to go down the drain?
Okay, so if you have a child who is an adult who is, as you said, a spendthrift or a drug addict or someone where you have reservations about leaving your money in the hands of that child, again, you have the you have some options. You can, well, disinherit your child. That is always an option. But you can also overcome this by the way of creation of a trust. You can leave that child's inheritance in the hands of a trustee to look after the inheritance and use it on behalf of that child. You can choose your own trustee to do that. So it's usually someone that you trust. And the last option, although not a very favorable option, is to bequeath that money to someone else with the condition that that money must only be used on behalf of the third party, that being your drug addict child. It's usually not very fair to leave such a condition upon the person to whom it was left. So it's usually more of a it's much better idea to just leave it in a trust on behalf of the drug addict child.
Aye, shame. Okay, and the other thing that you're wondering about is, do you have to discuss your will with the family, even the heirs, while you're still alive?
Well, there's no law that determines exactly whether you should or should not discuss your will with your family or not. I, however, am a big forestander of dealing with your matters in a very transparent manner. If your children are majors, there's usually no real reason not to discuss it with them. This ensures that everybody's on the same page and that there's no surprises upon your death. So everyone will know what's coming. There are, however, instances where a person may choose not to discuss it with the family. Some people just plainly do not feel comfortable to discuss it with them. This really is each person's own prerogative.
Okay, so you can't be forced to do that. Do you think, you were saying transparency is the reason, but sometimes if people know, they can actually make plans before your death to subvert the process of your death. You know, sometimes there are reasons why people don't want to share.
Exactly. As I said, there are reasons people don't want to share. But over and above this, people must always remember that we call it in a law, it's a spes. It's only there's a big chance that you can inherit, but there's always a chance that you might have a lot of debt that first has to be paid before you inherit anything, and then they don't get anything.
Have you seen wills that have actually broken up families or have even repaired a rift in families because of someone doing a will right?
Yes, absolutely. You get two kinds of families. You get those where the death of the patriarch or the matriarch would usually draw everyone closer. And then you get the different kind of family where they all go in different directions thereafter. It's usually very hard to determine exactly beforehand which is which. But yeah, different people, different families react in very different ways to the death of a person.
And you, as a lawyer, how much say do you have? Is there something you can do to help with this process?
Well, yes, absolutely. I think usually if you have a well-drafted will, this can absolutely help you. Where a will has been well drafted and there has been a lot of transparency in the whole process, again, there's not a lot of surprises happening. So there's not room for fighting in the family afterwards. It's usually with either a very badly drafted will or with no will drafted at all, where it's unclear as to how the assets should be distributed upon your death, that the fighting or the rift in the family would come.
Okay, but you know, we've got Christian listeners. We've got really great and spiritual and mature people listening here. We don't have those problems, not whatsoever. Listen, yeah, if people want to contact you guys, if they need help with this, if they think, yeah, that's all good and well, but actually I don't know what I'm doing, can you guys help and how?
Absolutely. They can contact us, Housebrook and Buzzard Attorneys. We are in Pretoria. Our number is 012-481-3555. They will then be directed probably to me, where I can then assist them with the drafting of their wills. We specialize in the administration of estates and the drafting of wills and estate planning.